Well, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you very much for having me back at the Artemis IOS Asia conference. It is very good to see all of you here, to have Artemis Asia back in Singapore and also Steve with us. I'm very happy to reconnect with friends I've met in Artemis New York earlier this year and also to make new connections. The diverse attendance today, I think, reflects the growing need and opportunities, as Steve mentioned in his remarks as well, in the insurance-linked securities market in Asia. For governments and businesses, I think it's opportunities to insure against risks that pose increasing economic losses. For insurers and ILS sponsors, opportunities to manage their underwritten exposures to peak perils more effectively, and also for asset owners and investors, opportunities to diversify their portfolios from traditional asset classes, and also diversify their exposures to peak perils geographically. The global ILS market in 2020, as Steve also mentioned, is off to a good start. I think the alternative reinsurance capital reached 100 billion for the first time this year, after some years of stagnation. Reinsurance pricing is also seeing a correction, with a hardening market and reinsurers being increasingly selective about risks they undertake. Property catastrophe bonds issuances in the first half of this year closed out at an all-time high of 9.7 billion. And as of April this year, the average yield on catastrophe bonds was 12.7%, which is over 7 times higher than they were in 2016. The ILS market has seen innovation. The first cyber bond was launched this January, followed by a second one in May. And parametric triggers are also increasingly being used. At least 4 catastrophe bonds issued this year were structured with such triggers. They make for a clear, transparent, and efficient mechanism for determining payouts. Investor losses are not subject to complex claims assessment. But Asia's ILS market is still currently small, but it has good long-term growth prospects. Asia's insurance markets are growing, riding on the back of economic growth, infrastructure, and commercial development. Property insurance premiums in developing Asia are expected to grow at a CAGR of 16% until 2040. And this is twice as fast as the global rate over the same period. 7 of the top 10 global non-life reinsurers have presence in Singapore, and 6 of them have designated Singapore as their Asia hub. Asia also has a sizable protection gap. The region experienced close to 1.2 trillion in economic losses from natural catastrophes from 2013 to 2022. However, only 13% of these losses were insured, and this is much lower than the global average of 37%. It will take significant reinsurance capacity to insure Asia against net cat exposures beyond what traditional reinsurance can support. And on potential demand, the institutional and family office investor base in Asia is growing. Asia's asset pools are expected to grow and reach over 800 billion by 2030. And in Singapore, we have over 4 trillion assets under management at the end of 2021. More asset owners, including sovereign wealth funds and also pension funds, have set up offices in Singapore to tap regional opportunities. And in addition, the ILS investor base in North America and Europe are also keen to diversify their exposures to include Asian risks in their portfolios. Focusing efforts in 3 key areas will complement these tailwinds and also help to accelerate the growth of Asia's ILS market. First, build and collect granular, high-quality data on key perils facing Asian markets. Second, grow a savvy ILS investor base in Asia. And third, support ILS issuances and structuring capabilities. Firstly, we need to decisively address data gaps on key risks in Asia. A lack of standardized, high-resolution, and up-to-date data on key risks impedes risk quantification, modeling, and also pricing. The private sector is already seeking to address this. Insurers and risk modeling firms are developing more data and models for risks in emerging Asia. For example, we now have a fully probabilistic risk model for flood risk in Southeast Asia in the market to give sharper definition to flood perils. Nonetheless, we need a more coordinated effort to solve this data issue, and we need to involve stakeholders such as policymakers and also public sector data owners. Singapore is enhancing data through the work of the ASEAN Disaster Risk Financing and Insurance Phase 2 Program, or we call it ADRIFE 2 in short. The Institute of Catastrophe Risk Management at the Nanyang Technological University has partnered ASEAN regulators and ministries of finance to develop a data exchange and analytics portal. The portal provides high-resolution exposure and loss data to ASEAN member states, and these outputs enable policymakers to proactively plan and budget for NatCat events, and also help them utilize risk financing tools to mitigate their risk exposures. At the same time, the Global Asia Insurance Partnership, which is a tripartite partnership involving the insurance industry, regulators, and academia from around the region, is also looking to harness more data insights from research. It is currently analyzing how economic and industrial centers in ASEAN will be impacted by climate risk to help with better projections and build better risk models. And Singapore will continue to support industry initiatives to address data gaps on key risks in Asia. Next, investor education. We will need to focus on this aspect to grow the investor base in Asia. Today, ILS is still a relatively niche asset class among Asian investors. Only some pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, and asset owners in the region are familiar with ILS. Some are also cautious due to the investment losses from ILS in recent years. But fundamentally, ILS remains a viable alternative asset classes for portfolio diversification. As a fund and wealth management center, Singapore is well positioned to promote the growth of ILS investment products and also to grow a pool of well-informed investor base. There are a number of global fund managers in Singapore that already offer ILS investment products in other offices, and we seek to engage and partner them to bring such offerings to Singapore. A growing base of high net worth individuals and business owners have also set up family offices in Singapore. The last count, we have more than 1,000 family offices here. They present an untapped customer segment for ILS instruments and investments, and the industry can work together to promote awareness in this asset class. We have launched investor education events, partnering with the SGX, our Singapore Exchange, and also the World Bank, as well as key ILS service providers to demystify ILS. And we will continue to work with other like-minded partners to increase awareness of ILS as an asset class in this part of the world. Last but not least, MAS will support the establishment of structuring capabilities and ILS issuances in Singapore. Today, ILS structuring expertise is still relatively scarce in Asia. There are efforts by public sector financing teams of reinsurers and brokers and the World Bank to support capacity building on insurance and risk financing mechanisms, and this includes ILS. Their technical assistance has been important in enabling issuances like the World Bank bond that was issued in 2019. It provided 225 million of financial protection against earthquakes and tropical cyclones in the Philippines. We have also built a growing base of professional service providers and also insurance expertise to support ILS issuances. And these include legal profession, insurance managers, risk modelers, claims reviewers, and also loss reserve specialists that are based in Singapore. But we would like to bring in more structuring capabilities to serve the region. Through Singapore, structures can tap into the opportunities from the increasing interest and demand for alternative risk transfer solutions and ILS in Asia. And our proximity to and also time zone for Asian perils and the ecosystem of professional service providers, such as the insurance managers that I mentioned, the risk modelers, are all based here. So in short, structures can tap into this ecosystem of players that are and capabilities that are already in Singapore. First movers will have the added advantage to ride the growth of ILS in Asia. And MAS is keen to engage structurers and provide appropriate support to bring their capabilities to Singapore. MAS will also continue to support ILS issuances. In 2018, we built a tailored regulatory tax and also listing infrastructure that catered to ILS issuances. We introduced the MAS ILS grant, which defrays the cost of ILS issuances. The grant has supported 23 catastrophe bond issuances to date. The last one that Steve mentioned earlier was not supported but issued in Singapore. The 23 cat bonds that we have supported included cedents from the US, Europe, and Asia Pacific. And cumulatively, Singapore has captured 44% of Asian risks by issuance volume globally. The strong deal flow reflects growing familiarity and confidence in Singapore's ILS regime. And we are pleased to welcome the latest issuance in Singapore, Totara Re. This is New Zealand's first catastrophe bond, which covers multi-perils for New Zealand. MAS has renewed our ILS grant scheme to support ILS issuances with stronger focus on Asia-Pacific risks. We have extended the grant scheme till end of 2025. The scope of the scheme has also been expanded beyond just catastrophe bonds to include sidecars and also collateralized reinsurance issuances. The grant also supports issuances covering longevity, mortality, and also cyber risks. In addition, we have streamlined our ILS regulatory regime. We reduced the paid-up ordinary share capital for ILS applicants from Sing 20,000 to just a dollar. This will lower the business costs for ILS sponsors without compromising our regulatory objectives. Now, we all know that ILS vehicles are fully funded at all times, and hence the reduction in the paid-up capital for ILS vehicles would not affect any loss-absorbing function to policy holders. And MAS has also reviewed the scope of application documents that have to be submitted to ease the ILS licensing process. So looking ahead, we are exploring the introduction of corporate structures that can facilitate multiple ILS issuances using segregated cells. And through all these mutually reinforcing efforts, we hope to grow a vibrant ILS ecosystem in Asia to enhance the overall resilience for the region. Thank you, and I wish you all a fruitful conference ahead.